100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Merry Christmas, everyone. I hope you're having a good day today. And if you don't celebrate it, well, I still hope you're having a good day today with Chinese food and a movie or something like that. Lots of football. Lots of football. I don't know what else to say. It's the last weekly challenge of the year. Next one will be New Year's Day, 2017. And we keep doing this. Cool. So the topic was, let's make this a Christmas special. So, okay. We've got stories from Jeffrey Fisher, Charlie, Muncie, Richard, Tom, John DeCleese, Serendipity, Lisa, Lizzie, Tura, Norval Joe, and Zachman has returned, and Planet Z. I don't know what else to say. If you follow my Facebook and Twitter, well, yeah. Those two men conspired to declare the holiest place to Judaism as illegally occupied territory, and then turned around and wished Happy Hanukkah, where those miracles occurred, are a part of that area. That just blows my mind. So yeah, fuck them both. But hopefully your Christmas, nobody is declaring, you know, the birthplace of your savior, or where, you know, he's martyred, or come back from the dead as illegally occupied territory, right? Yeah. And I've seen a lot of memes out there of, you know, two immigrants looking for a place to stay and giving birth to Jesus. They weren't immigrants. They were in their home country participating in the census, which is, you know, government overreach and harassment. All these crazy things. People ignorant of history and people and their beliefs. Twisted for agendas and memes and all of that. People wonder why folks don't know what the fuck they're doing anymore. With all these calling false news the truth and the truth false news, and the gatekeepers of the truth, of course, are the ones perpetrating false news. Who do you trust anymore? And so I write fiction. Because I don't believe anything anymore. And it's just going to get worse, I guess. All right, well, there you go. My sermon on the sofa. Let's hear some stories before I say something really stupid.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for weekly challenge number 557. It's the Christmas special. And given the way my voice is going, I should probably switch to a robot voice. But until then, it's all me. Just a couple of things before I start. First of all, Richard, you're welcome to take any idea that I have, because you always seem to improve on it. I was very happy that you didn't use my idea last week. Your Dark and Stormy Night trilogy, I thought, was brilliant. So keep it up, and take anything you like from me. But really enjoyed those stories. Secondly, Lizzie, it's an unfortunate thing about the Medellin soccer, football, whatever you want to call a team. The ironically funny part about that is, according to legend at least, that's what did in the band Lynyrd Skynyrd. They decided to go cheap too, and decided not to put enough fuel in their plane, and ran out shortly before they reached the runway. I don't understand. These people are rich. put a little extra in the tank. When I fill up my car, I don't fill it up three quarters of the way figuring, hey, that'll be enough to get me there. And what's the worst that could happen if I run out of gas? I just drift off to the side of the road. I don't fall from the sky. So, just one of life's little mysteries. And Lawrence, you had mentioned somewhere along the line that part of your regimen, your drug regimen for your problem was that they gave you Dilaudid. I'll have to say you got lucky on that. When I was in the hospital, they gave me Dilaudid for a couple of days, and I had hallucinations like you wouldn't believe. They were hallucinations that involved me being held prisoner by the medical staff, they kidnapped my wife and taken her away somewhere. Imagine my embarrassment when it turned out that these weren't just hallucinations that I was dreaming up. No, in fact, I was communicating with the medical staff. I was arguing with the medical staff about my kidnapping and where the heck my wife was and so on and so forth. I had a lot of apologizing to do. But it turned out that a fair percentage of people and a higher percentage of men end up having hallucinations with this. I can't understand how the medical profession is still allowed to use it. Anyway, with all of that rambling, here's my story for this week. This story is called Homecoming. Billy wanted only one thing for Christmas. His dad. You see, Billy's dad was deployed in Afghanistan, and Billy had not seen him for a long time. Billy's dad decided to surprise his son by arriving at the boy's school dressed as Santa. Santa read the class's story, then the teacher asked Billy what he wanted for Christmas. An Xbox One, he replied. Anything else? The teacher prompted. Oh yeah, my dad home. Santa took his cue. He removed his white beard and eyebrows, and the rest of the class gasped. Santa was really someone else? Then Billy's dad kept going, removing his nose, his cheeks, and his jaw. The bony face stared at Billy, who screamed in terror. Billy's dad might have been killed in action 6 months before, but there was no way he would miss Christmas with his son. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
The Grand Christmas or Christmastide Special was the yearly service and favor Eddie administered to Judy around Yuletide. Eddie always supplemented his gift each passing Christmas. He planned to introduce technology into this year's favor, along with the customary, beefy, Yuletide log, and a few odds and ends from the technology and electromechanical realms. Eddie started with a few items he hid in the pantry. He began with the special ingredients. Imported chocolate and truffles were the components of the salted almond truffle tart. He ground the beans, measured and heated the water and brewed a carafe of hand-poured coffee.
Greetings, Decembarians. Munzee here to usher you out of December, out of 2016, and out of your time as the Decembarians. So get civilized, y'all. 'Cause your disembarbarism won't stand much longer. Christmas Movies by Christopher Monroe. Die Hard is my favorite Christmas movie. This isn't controversial. It takes place during Christmas at a Christmas party, and as the film unfolds, Bruce Willis learns lessons about family in true, if atypical, holiday fashion. My second favorite Christmas movie? Gremlins. A whole town coming together over Christmas, working as one in the spirit of community. Third favorite, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. This one's slightly questionable, but it does begin and end during Christmas, even if what happens between isn't particularly festive. And, in terms of most Nazi sex dungeons, it's the greatest Christmas movie ever made. I wrote a book one time, Broken Escalator, and I tweet with much more frequency at Munzee Munzee. So ends the year, Decembarians, and I hope it was a good one for you. Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Good morning. Richard here with my story on a Christmas theme. Oh, joy. It's called Festive. There's a factory near me that makes Christmas decorations. Festive Productions. You'd think it's a seasonal thing, but production lines are open all year. It takes that long to amass enough stock for the holidays. And you'd be surprised how many Christmas trees and fake snow are sold out of season too. I was offered a job there, but turned it down. Can you imagine a whole year of tinsel, fairy lights, and Christmas ornaments? It must drive the employees mad, especially at Christmas, when there's no escape. The last thing they'd want to be is festive. And there you go. So it only remains for me to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And if Christmas is not your thing, well, just get very merry. Until next time, goodbye.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and my story this evening is called Little Lies Allow You to Believe Big Lies. If a liar tells you he's lying, is he telling you the truth? If an honest parent tells you they've lied, could they be lying about lying? Case in point, Santa is real, verified by the highest local authority, your parents. Time passes, the story changes. Santa isn't real. Is a parent lying about lying? Where in this chain does truth fall? I, for one, believe parents have indeed lied about lying, and Santa is real. Where would Christmas be without Santa? A cold, dark winter night without presents. When's the last time you got gifts on someone else's birthday? And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are. And to All a Good Night, by John DeCleese. Our nest has been emptied. Some live at home, some come for the holidays. Last year, one of the little no-neck monsters let out my prized python, and the whole Christmas Eve was a snake hunt. This year will be different. In England, people come home, tell horror stories around the hearth. I have some great stories prepared. They will be ready to rush off to bed, ready to let Santa come and save them. A fellow herpetologist has loaned me enough vipers for all the beds. Next year, the nest will, at last, be empty. Merry Christmas.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. You shouldn't believe the rumors that I don't exist. That's just a bunch of spoil sports, determined to ruin the fun of Christmas. So, if you keep your side of the deal, I'll keep mine. So don't forget to hang up your stocking. Leave out that mince pie and a tot of brandy. And don't forget to go to bed early. Then I promise I will come down your chimney and eat and drink the goodies. Then, I'll stuff your stocking in your mouth, put my hands around your throat, and squeeze until you're dead. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Hello, happy Christmas. It's Lisa, and I've got 100 words for you on the theme of Christmas. It's called Behind You. Christmas windows like stage sets line my icy walk home as I button up tighter. I come out like the Gritter lorries, the Santa suits crumpled at the far end of a boarding house clothes rail. I'm eggnog and a mince pie. I miss the lights in shops that twinkle like stars through misty mornings. I pass as shoes are dropped and princes piss against bins. Every year the line's the same, the joke almost. At the end of the pier Christmas show, the once famous, the has-beens and the nearly made-its. Christmas, to me, just means work. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. Sit down and close your eyes. Listen to the sounds of the season. They'll ask questions, many questions. The glitter on your nose, do-it-yourself presents. The wound on your thumb, damn sharp box cutter. The red on your hands, painting stuff red. There should be some green somewhere. The purple bite on your lower lip? An overexcited kisser who spotted mistletoe and plunged into your arms. The ripped Rudolph sweater? An overzealous security guard at the entrance of the building. Nothing much. You're not even angry that he destroyed your favorite Christmas sweater. But remember, whatever they say, deny it all. And this is my story for this week, dropped by my blog at lizziegoodcop.blogspot.com. And enjoy the festivities. Happy holidays. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Tura Brazzolino here with a story for this week's Christmas special. Abba Jerome went to visit Abba Macarius. A young monk has told me of a new custom in the cities, said Abba Macarius. They call it Christmas, but I cannot say how it concerns our Lord. Show me this celebration, said Abba Jerome. I shall give you this rock, said Abba Macarius, for at Christmas people give things to each other. Then I shall give you this rock also, said Abba Jerome. Then they have a meal together, said Abba Macarius, and in silence they ate their daily fragment of dry bread dipped in olive oil. So they celebrated Christmas.
Hello. This is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com. My wife took over my recording table to do the Christmas wrapping, so, you get another computer voice submission. Anyway. Here's my story. I call it A Wiener Dog's Christmas. Long John followed his master up the stairs to the woman's apartment. The jangling bells on his collar were as embarrassing as the reindeer antlers protruding from behind his head. His master knocked on the door and waited only a moment before the woman opened it. She bared her teeth. Barking, she picked up Long John. He assumed it wasn't an aggressive move, as she had never attacked him in the past. The woman squeezed him to her chest. Then, still barking, she put him on the ground. She turned to his master, kissed him and said, Merry Christmas, Durgle. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next year. Grin.
I remember sitting by the radio with my father, listening to rebroadcasts of old-time radio, featuring Murphy Brown and her famous father. Their jokes were often wooden. Then hearing songs like I'm Jimmy Durante Claus. Also watching Charlie Brown and Claymation specials. When the kids were young, we would watch my video of The Toy That Saved Christmas, or borrow Christmas specials from the library. Now my wife finds so many dull shows on demand and Netflix to watch instead of holiday specials that I'm in the other room, listening to Bells in the Bat Free and Technical Difficulties Christmas shows.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Looking out the window, there's a Coca-Cola billboard with a Santa in a red pickup truck, looking out the passenger window with a Coke bottle in his white mitt and a creepy stare on his face. Everyone on this side of the building has to look out at this creepy Santa billboard, and they can't wait for Christmas to be over. Me? I don't mind. I don't work on that side of the building, so I don't see it. Because of my kidney stones, I can't drink Coke anymore. So, stare all you want, fat bastard. I ain't buying.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic. Well, not really a topic, but a Christmas special. Did this make you feel better? Did this instill a sense of hope in the world? Maybe. Or dose of reality under the tree. I'm not sure. We don't have a tree up. We're just hanging a stocking over a bar chair. And although we do have the TV that's playing the bonfire in the fireplace, because the flue has never quite worked. And I'd rather not kill myself with carbon monoxide poisoning just yet. So we've got that going and a few lights here and there and a little bit, some flowers and the cheesy art reindeer. Maybe I should post photos. But no tree, no need. I remember when Nardo would put toys under the tree. His kitty toys. Just howl and walk them over and put them all under there, and then sit under there all proud. And mist and Bruin picking ornaments off. One would grab one, and then the other would grab one. I guess spraying them with catnip wasn't such a good idea. Memories, I guess. Well, the next topic for the weekly challenge will be key, so I look forward to seeing y'all in the new year. Stay safe, stay creative, and drink plenty of fluids. Wow. Yeah. It's a little fun standing up and sitting down while on Flomax. I get a little lightheaded and it takes a few seconds. And you never quite learn. So you stand up quickly anyway, because you stand up quickly is a habit. And it just takes some time. Got to train myself. That's it. I will see y'all next week, next year, next shining episode. Thank you all for being a part of this. You matter. You do. And as always, keep it brief.